Welcome to Before You Cut Bangs. I'm Laura Quick.
And I'm Claire Fearman.
I'm Laura, and I am a professional storyteller.
And I'm Claire, and I have been a therapist, a coach, a counselor, and all over the mental health world for many years. A quick disclaimer, this is not therapy, and this is not coaching. This is just a podcast.
Totally. A really badass podcast.
All right, on today's episode of Before You Cut Bangs, we are going to talk about miscommunication. And this little treasure of a topic wasn't brought to you by our listeners, but brought to you by Laura Quick, who really misinformed the public on her Instagram.
Okay, whoa. In my defense, I do get confused easily on acronyms. It is a thing.
They're not called acronyms. I'm just kidding.
I was literally like, wait, they're not? Which could happen to me. It's a wild thing that I'm in the business of words. I was on a call with a client the other day, and it's a tech company, and I was like, and when the FDA gets this approved, and he said, the EPA.
Food and Drug Administration. Okay.
And then I was like, don't correct me. I'm just kidding.
So I don't think you can defend yourself till after we tell the story.
All right, that's fine. Okay, so this is what happened. I get this beautiful package in the mail from Claire, and I'm so pumped because I love getting mail. And she knows that, and she's like a really kind, amazing gift giver. And so it's really sweet, and I'm opening it. And I decide to just, you know, like, I'm double tasking. I'm going to do a story about getting this great gift from my friend.
I'm unboxing.
She did an unboxing.
Okay.
I did not, but not really, because obviously I'm not hashtag influencer. Everybody knows. But I'm unboxing it, and I'm like talking about just like what I did that day. And I'm like, also, guys, I got a BBL today, and I just don't know if anyone else has gotten one and would love to find out what level dinosaur I'm going to look like by the end of this. And I did a survey on the story. So literally while I'm like, Claire got me this gift, I do like a little survey box of like, I've gotten a BBL. I've never gotten it. And then like one of the answers was, what are you talking about? Like, I just put that on there thinking like, I'm surely some people don't know what it is. I want you to know that I stepped away for 2 seconds, came back to Instagram, and I had like 25 messages, and it had only been 2 minutes. And I was like, damn, people really got a lot of opinions about this BBL.
I am an influencer.
God, I am really killing it on Instagram lately. The messages went something like this, Will. Girl, you got a Brazilian butt lift? The next one. You know BBL means Brazilian butt lift, right? Like, they went on and on and on.
I believe my response was, do you know what this means? It was like the Princess Bride. Like, I do not think you know.
You were not the only person who also said, like, do you know what this means? And also, the survey started going off the charts with, what are you talking about? So I thought, like, wow, 95% of people are saying they don't know what I'm talking about. And then I'm mortified because now I'm like, people think I got a Brazilian butt lift. Well, first of all, what great, incredible shape I was in to just be like, right after
just a massive surgery. And I want to know if you also got one.
Have you ever had a massive surgery on to get a fake ass implanted? If you have, hit me up on Insta. Also, my girl Claire. Okay, so while in therapy just a minute ago, because we were really out here doing our work, I'm telling my therapist what we're going to be talking about today, miscommunications and things. And he said, so it kind of seemed like Claire sent you a gift. Because you got a BBL. And I was like, I could see how that might be also misinterpreted that
way. So needless to say, I didn't repost that story that I was tagged in about the BBL, which sucked because I do like to be validated for sending a good gift. And I was like, you know, damn it, Laura, delete.
Okay, two questions. One, what was the gift?
It was a great book.
Nice.
Wrapped in beautiful packaging.
Which
from
would
Little
be exactly
Professor.
What you needed to recover from a nice BBL.
Normally, I wouldn't ask what the gift was, but you were already doing an unboxing video, yeah. So it was out there. Yeah. All right, and two, what did you think a BBL was?
Okay, well, first of all, I went back. You know, some people, after only 20 minutes of something being up, and so not a ton of people had seen it, but I'd gotten a lot of messages, maybe would have just deleted it. Maybe they would have started over. They would have been like, just throw in some love to my girl Claire who sent me this great gift. And they would have just omitted the BBL thing. Not me.
It's pretty funny. I mean, I would probably keep it up because
I kept
funny.
It up. And so then I went on to be like, guys, I've just been informed by 100 of you that BBL means Brazilian butt lift. And to be clear, I didn't have a Brazilian butt lift.
Born this way.
That's right.
Yeah. I'm working with what Jesus gave me. Anyway, so I leave it up and then I'm like, guys, I didn't get a BBL. And so then I was questioning, did I get the name wrong? Like maybe I misheard. So on staff call the next morning, I'm like, Linda, who works with me, it's her sister at the dermatology office. I'm like, I need you to text her and ask her what this thing is really called because I'm certain it's BBL. And my staff is losing their mind. They're like, we saw it. None of them said anything. I'm like, help a sister out. So I'm on Zoom and I'm like back up in my kitchen and I'm like, guys, butt is the same size. The butt has not changed. And so Linda told me, she confirmed, it is BBL. It is called broadband light laser treatment.
And I feel like broadband's one word.
Okay, but maybe it's not. So it might be, but it's not. I looked it up and I posted it. I was like, guys, it really is called BBL. And it is where they take a laser to your face and all of your like old dark spots come to the surface and they just fall off of your skin. It's really helpful. I've done it. My face kind of looks cray cray right now because I'm on only day.
Did it hurt?
No. You could go an hour early and get numbed, but I didn't do that.
So, yeah. Now, granted, you have to go through like 100 search results before you get to this. Because everything is about Brazilian butt lift.
They are not doing good on SEO. I can tell you that.
But, yeah. So, just broadband light. That's what it is. It's called broadband light.
And how many
words? And you're right. Broadband is just one word. But
they call it a BBL.
That's correct.
Don't.
Well, that's
look
poor marketing on
eyes.
Their part. No. That was on them. I mean, broadband. Talk about an acronym. They missed the mark.
Yeah, and here's the thing. It's also known as IPL, which is intense pulsed light. They should have just gone with that.
They really should have gone with IPL.
Because that is actually three words.
And if you're a dermatologist.
Man, it's not confused with a Brazilian butt lift.
I will tell you, it is confusing. And that's why we're talking about miscommunications today. And we all have some of those, don't we, Claire?
We do, and I have a why we do this. And I mean, some is just like a plain old accident, and then sometimes we get so discombobulated that we can't hear right. Like, we get so nervous that our ears close up, and we'll talk about those later. And some of those are less funny. But yeah, so I don't know if this is a miscommunication or more just fear-based lack of communication.
People-pleasing. Go on.
I people-please to my hair's detriment is what is what happened. Oh my God. In this video, you can see it.
I was expecting like full on actual bangs.
Yeah. I don't
it was
say,
disappointing to it, me. And well.
I don't want to say too much so you tell the story, but yeah, I have an headphones on this.
Yeah. I mean, if I didn't have curly hair, we'd be in a crisis. Okay.
Okay.
So my grandfather was in town with his wife. She is not from the United States, has lived here a long time, but there's definitely some cultural differences. She's super direct. Like maybe to the point of rude, but whatever. And she was a hairstylist for like 50 years.
How old is she? Just curious.
I assume like 70 80, something. Close to 80.
She's 80?
Maybe in her 70s. Shit, I don't know. I'm not going to ask. My grandfather's 84.
Okay.
So it's not like she's 50.
Okay.
She was a hairdresser for 50 years and she didn't start that when she was a newborn.
I can't wait. Keep going. I have so many things to say.
So, as most of y'all know, I'm a single mother. I'm a therapist. I'm very budget conscious at this point in my life, so I don't often go get my hair done. I also have a luxury of having curly hair where you really don't have to get it highlighted as much because it kind of just blends. But I will be honest, the roots were bad, okay? And on day two of them being in town, we'll just call her my grandmother, for we don't have to go through step-grandmother every time. We're sitting in my living room and she's just staring at me and she goes, I've bit my tongue long enough. Your roots are awful. And I was like, they are awful. And I knew where this was going. I knew we were going to Sally's, like, is the bottom line.
Oh, no. Okay.
And she was like, can I touch up your roots? And I'm like, how hard could that be, right? And so, sure. So she is the first person at Sally's Beauty, waiting outside the door for them to open. Like, she was visibly upset that my hair looked like this. And the first thing, let's rewind to when they arrived. She looks at me and she goes, "You're very thin." And I was like, "Okay." And then she goes, "You are beautiful, fat, but much prettier skinny." And so it's always like,
God, I love a good grandma cut down. It's the best. I was like,
God damn. So I'm always just kind of on edge. Like, I can remember, I mean, every time she sees me, she'll like bring me a product or like a different hair tie, like whatever, because those weren't quite right. So she's first in line at Sally's and gets back to my house with a bag that just says like hair color white. And if you go to a salon, they're like mixing colors and you can look at samples, but this only said white.
I'm so nervous right now.
And then she's like, I mean, I'm sitting across from you. It's not that bad.
I was about to say, it's like, we know the results.
But still.
Y'all don't know all the results because I've saved them for you that are underneath, and we'll get to that. So it's a little treat. It's why my hair has had to be down every day. And I always wear my hair up. So anyways, she gets back. It just says white. And she's like, where's your foil? And I was like, my foil. And so we get out Reynolds kitchen wrap, and we're cutting the squares to bleach the hair. And then, you know, in the salon, they use one of those brush comb things. Not that Will knows, but they use one that has a brush.
He has women
in his life.
My nickname used to be Willie Two-Tone because I had two-toned hair.
Wow.
We're going to come back to that.
Noted.
We are coming back to that. I'm writing it down.
So I'm personally cutting the foil. Then she asked if I had any popsicle sticks. And I did, but they were all multicolored from my child's craft cart. And I was like, she didn't buy that fucking brush. She's just going to put it on with a popsicle stick in my kitchen, whatever. She did not like the size of my chair, so I had to go get a lawn chair from the yard. Lawn chair in the kitchen, Reynolds foil, popsicle stick, and she is going to town on my hair. And then she's like, when was the last haircut? And I was like, I can't remember. And she was like, well, it's dead. It is all dead. Can I trim the ends? I was like, just the ends. And I swear on all that is holy, she gets the kitchen scissors that have opened bacon this morning.
Oh, God.
And I can hear and feel that we aren't doing the ends. And then I hear her kind of say to herself, maybe a little more than the ends. And I was like, God damn it. And I'm just in a bathrobe, helpless. Nothing. That's it. So I just see my hair falling. It was so, so many inches. I go to the bathroom to take out the foils when it's over, and it was so blonde. It's toned down a little bit. It was inches and inches shorter, and I just had to go back out there and thank her, and that was it. So my mom's like, okay, it doesn't look that bad, but like there are pieces that are just like, what, we're close, like what happened here? So I was shopping with my mom the other day, and I pull my hair up. See, yep. Okay, so here it is. Just a stripe right down the middle.
Okay.
If you do it like
there's a stripe on the side, and there's a stripe here.
Oh wait, turn toward me. Toward me.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that one on that side is nice.
But when it falls down, you can't tell that at all.
You just kind of blend it and put a little mousse in. And so Bobby called me Rufio, and then, which is not untrue. And then I was brushing my teeth with my hair up, and he was like, which character is it, Mrs. Adams or Morticia, who has the stripes in her hair? I'm like, oh, it's Morticia. And I was like, bitch. I was like, you're talking about me. I thought he was just like inquiring about.
First of all, with the Meg Ryan comment, though, he kind of owed you.
He did.
So it's fine.
I mean, I have publicly now put both of our hair on blast.
Okay, I got a couple questions because this is what I'm thinking. I have a rule about hair, eyebrows, and gems.
Well, she tried to dye my eyebrows. And I put,
you told me
I did say no.
Well, that's good because they probably would have turned red if she tried to put the white on.
And gems. What does a gem have to do with
it? Okay, stones? So, no, I do love gemstones, but no. Okay, so here's my rule. You cannot touch my hair unless you have good hair. You cannot touch my eyebrows unless you have good eyebrows. And I am not going to a gym if there's a bunch of people I think are not in better shape than me. Like, if everybody there is not in better shape than me, I don't want to go, which, you know, pretty much disqualifies me from all the
gym. Like, have you been to a gym lately?
I'm just saying.
No, I completely agree. And here's the thing. Also, I know some really good trainers that I had to be like, oh, yeah, just eat my words because they were actually, you know, really good trainers. But I am weirded out when someone is a trainer or a coach and they are not
in shape
and they appear to not be in any kind of good shape. Yeah, I'm always like, wait, what's happening?
I've met some and I'm always like, hey, because for me, look, and what I'm saying is that is very subjective, right? So what's subjective about it is what I think great hair is might be totally different for Will, right?
Will two-tone?
Will two-tone. Willie. Willie two-tone, Willie please. Two-tone. Don't forget
WTT
it.
If we wanted an acronym.
Oh, you know it. And you know I'll forget it and fuck it up. All right?
Which will make it better anyway.
But my point is I cannot believe you let an 80-year-old woman come at your hair. Because I'm going to be honest. In her heyday, I bet she was killing it.
What's worse? What's the worst part? Is the gal who does the gal?
The gal.
Wow. The gal who does my hair
at the Gwyneth, beauty supplies at the beauty shop.
No, after this, I was like, I have to call Gwyneth. I'm too ashamed. Gwyneth, if you're, and Gwyneth listens, she's going to find out. Gwyneth
she's
listens. She's
going to know. Our podcast is called Before You Cut Bangs.
And I fell prey.
No.
The worst part of the story, I'm sorry, Claire, unfortunately, is that your hair looks really good. And When you told us the story, you know, like you're like, all right, here's the pic. And then the picture came through and I was like, well,
it's underwhelming.
The story's not as funny because your hair just looks really good.
What I was hoping for were some like old school bangs, like that just like were sticking out of the front of your head. And I would have been pumped. I would have been like, yes, let's go emergency recording tomorrow to get this on film.
Sorry, I miscommunicated.
No. The story is still great. It's just that I was waiting for that like final moment of like,
where
oh
my
God.
Ruined.
Yeah. And the picture came through. It's like, oh, that's just a really good haircut.
All right. Okay. Let's hear it. So before we get into how we cannot miscommunicate, or honestly, you felt you were just people pleasing. You just said,
well,
first of all, you didn't just people please. You went into your backyard and got the lawn chair she requested.
Right.
You gave her the kitchen scissors.
100%.
You gave her the multicolored popsicle stick. I'm like, this is an abusive situation
but
you were
Steph
in.
Is in the living room with this face like, what the fuck are you doing? I was like, please say something.
First of all, she did not intervene, which Steph, this is on you. You are also responsible. That is an inappropriate mom thing. I love you. You know that I'm a huge Steph fan. I'm obsessed with you, but also absolutely
not. No one stepped in.
No one tried. I would have been like, ma'am, I'll take her to somewhere else. Thank you for your boss.
Bobby was like, thank God I wasn't here because I would have said, what the hell's going on here? I was like, okay, well, you weren't here and I was alone.
All right, Will, tell us, Willie Two-Tone, we want to hear a miscommunication from you.
Okay, so I had this friend, Philip. Yeah, I've got a pretty small group of like dudes that I call all of them. Yeah, it's my best friend or whatever. Mm-hmm. Philip's been a close friend of mine since middle school and never had any kind of weird disagreement except for this one time when he was leaving town. He was going to be out of town for a week and he texted me and he said, hey, do you mind while I'm gone, can I leave my cat at your house? And I was like, dude, well, first of all, I didn't respond right for a little while because I was just like stewing. I was so like, why is he putting me in this position? I don't want to keep his cat. I'm allergic to cats. I have dogs. So I have like legitimate reasons to tell him no.
Also, you cannot be the person that kills somebody's cat on accident.
Right.
And that is what happens. If you're not used to having a cat and they get outside and they run into the road, it's a whole vibe.
All
those other viable reasons.
I know, but still, like, you know me, the whole people pleasing. We did an episode on this. I don't like to say no.
Especially to people you love.
Especially, yeah, he is literally like family to me, right? So I just sat there and got more and more angry with him about like, why do I have to tell him no? Why has he put me in this position? And so finally I write out this way too long text explaining like, dude, here's the thing. You know, I want to do this for you, but I can't. And here's the reason, even though I could get some medicine maybe, but I don't want to do that. And, you know, I'm afraid about the dogs.
I'll go get allergy shots.
Like, what if the dogs end up like
attacking
the cat? Yeah, like. Go through the whole thing. I was like, so I'm really, really sorry, but there's no way I can do this. And he just responded pretty quickly with a ha ha ha. I just misspelled that. I meant car. Can I leave my car at your house for a week?
Did he even have a cat?
No. That's a whole no. Doesn't even own a cat. Yes.
You thought this man got a new cat and wanted to leave it with you. My favorite thing ever. That's amazing. My favorite thing ever, one, and I think we can all resonate, like every human knows what it's like to not want to disappoint someone you care about, right? Like that's such a normal, you don't want to like shit on someone who might really need you. But you sat there and made up a whole damn ass story. And this man just wanted to leave his car in your driveway.
Park his car. It was like, oh yeah, of course you can leave the car. Yeah.
My bad. Also, now that you know how I feel about cats, maybe don't get one. You know what I mean? They're real too much for me.
For real. Hey, really quickly on that people pleasing thing too. Our podcast came into my real life the other day because I was on stage giving a speech at this nice like gala. And there's a weatherman that here and where we live that's very famous. And like, he's like the most famous person in our state,
yeah,
probably.
Yeah.
And he was sitting at my table with Danielle and I, because I was giving a speech about him. And I was saying how like since 2009, since I started doing media stuff, he's always said yes to everything I've asked. Every, you know, event that I've asked him to come to with me, every fundraiser, every interview, everything. He's always said yes. And I was bragging on him. And then I like paused and I almost said, oh, that I think you have a problem, actually. This is a people-pleasing issue. And I wanted to like quickly, and I was like, no, just move on.
Just move on.
And actually, I have a couple suggestions.
As long as it's to my benefit, we're fine with it, though. Thank you for saying this.
As I was like bragging, I was like, oh, wait, no, that's not good.
So we changed your life.
So, yeah.
Aw, so you know, you're playing the story back in your head. All right, so miscommunication. Obviously, this is kind of a little bit both and miscommunication and people pleasing. I want to say something about what Will said, because your buddy, Philip, really just needed to leave his car. He said cat on accident. You got pissed.
Oh, yeah.
And instead of like, this is a dude you've known since you were 12 years old.
Yep.
All right. So that's 100 years because of your age, obviously very old.
Well, give or take 40. Yep.
All right. 100 years. And instead of just doing the thing that I think is like kind communication looks like, especially if you're in relationship, this is my experience. I'd love to hear the clinical side of this. If it's someone you're close to, you never text and you never email, call or in person. And here's why: you can give yourself space. I know you hate that because you don't want to, but here's what happens. How fucking funny would it have been if you would have called him as your boy, since you've known since you were 12, and said, bro, you know I'm allergic to cats. And that's just your first sentence. And he would go, well, that's great, because I just need to leave your car. I just need to leave my car in your driveway. But
I think it's funnier. And, you know, really, I'm so glad this happened, because now it's been this really funny story I've had for years. I've told it. But see, the really funny part is that I sent this long, detailed text back.
Yeah.
That explained all this stuff.
Well, that's the best part of your story.
I know. And but you know, the whole thing, we've said this, who wants to, other than you, who wants to talk on the phone? Nobody wants to talk on the phone.
Listen, I tell people all the time, this is something that comes up at work constantly. Now, obviously, we started this with me not knowing, well, one, announcing to the world that I had a Brazilian butt lift when really I had a broadband light IPL situation. I'm only saying this because all the time a narrative that we have at work is where someone's like, well, I've emailed them 4 times. I'm like, cool. Well, they're our client. Have you called them? Because if we're emailing back and forth, or we're not getting what we need or whatever, like, you can get so much further when you can hear someone's voice and you can hear what's going on. You may call that person and find out like someone passed in their family, or that they really said they meant car instead of cat or whatever. All right, where are you on this?
Well, that's when I throw in an emoji, you know,
cat emoji, and like a, and then like a lightning bolt. Look, or like a dead face.
If I think the tone of a text, and y'all know how I feel about tone.
No, don't take a tone with Claire.
Mm-mm.
Not happening.
And I'm going to try not to take one with you. And so I feel like if it could be misread or miscommunicated, that's when I throw in, damn it, GIF. GIF.
Yes, GIF.
We've argued about this and I forget.
Well,
it's like GIF, but he's dead now, so GIF. Go ahead. Yeah.
That's when I want to throw in a GIF, when I want to throw in an emoji. Ooh, you know, like my favorite emoji is the melting face. Like, ah, me, crazy. You know, I like that one. I just like to relax the situation. And I don't hate phone calls. I don't flinch with you. I wouldn't flinch with you. But there are some people that it would cause anxiety if they didn't tell me why they were calling. I have one friend from high school who I'm not confident knows her phone texts, you know? Okay. And so when she calls, I'm like, she just don't know. And that's fine. But yeah, I just want to I want to like soften an email. I might throw in an email with an emoji, but like I just want to soften that.
So the definition of a crucial conversation is, you know, you have to have a crucial conversation because you need something from the other person and it's specific. Meaning specifically, I cannot keep your cat. That's crucial. Okay, Philip, I don't care how long we've been boys. I'm allergic to cats. I don't even like cats. It's not happening, buddy. Crucial conversation would look like, Grandma, you little angel. I know you did hair for 50 years, but I'm going to make an appointment. And if you would love to give me $250 to do that with, I would be so grateful. Thank you so much.
I want to go back and say that I was like, I can call my girl Monday. And I just kind of like softly said it. And she was like, no.
Not today. We're going to Sally's.
But I did draw the line with the eyebrows. Can y'all imagine?
Oh,
And I kept saying, like, I love my eyebrows. I have, like, very good eyebrows. And
you were like, that's in right now.
I told her. She was like, but you have blonde hair. I was blonde as a kid, and now I just have to fluff the blonde a little. And I was like, I've always had dark eyebrows and blonde hair. It's what it is. I was like, and that's very popular. And she goes, it isn't. And I want to be like, how the fuck do you know?
You're like, ma'am, you're 80, so there's a reason you don't do hair anymore, and that you don't have like one of those cards to get you into the fancier places instead of Sally's. Mm-mm. Okay, all right. So give us a clinical. What's happening to us when there's a miscommunication? And it seems like there's three responses here. So your response was sit down and let this woman do whatever the hell she wants.
Chair.
Okay. Your response was pissed. And then a long, drawn out, all the reasons why. A boundary, but with a lot of explanation around it.
Yeah, a lot of aggression.
And my response was, I'm just going to roll into this. I'm going to stay in the theme and I'm going to correct it. Obviously, y'all thought I meant one thing. I really meant this other thing.
You have a higher tolerance for discomfort than both of us combined, though.
Because I spent most of my life uncomfortable.
We're like, oh, no thanks. Not for me.
Thanks so much. Okay, but what does that mean?
Okay, well, I mean, first, the Will situation is like a typo, and those are just can be so hilarious. And then this is kind of a short one. We can take it or leave it, but we had an incident with Nacho where I thought I was going to have to give him away. And he is in school now and really doing great. Highly recommend this person. So I called her because it was a business, and we talked for an hour about my dog, and we set up the schedule, and I did not save her number. And Laura has gotten on to me before about not saving numbers. Anywho.
Listen, and I'm not I save you as like, it would be like Willie Two-Tone is how you would go. If I met you you had some hair situation, I might come up with a nickname. But I always put in the description like where I met him or some sort of.
So smart, because then you can search on your phone if you wanted to put in client,
yes,
barber, hairstylist. You would have all of those resources at your fingertips. Anyways, I didn't. So I wake up 2 days later from this text that says, I have a sick child. I am so sorry. I cannot make our initial session. And it's this long thing. And my heart rate is in my ears because I think I've booked a session with a client. I have no recollection who it is. And so I sit with it for like 2 hours because what if they'd called me? It's just gone poof out of my brain and they're going to feel really unimportant.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I am so sorry. This is totally on me. Could you remind me the context of like where we met or how you signed up for an appointment? And she's like, this is Stacy, the dog trainer. And I was like, God damn it. Sorry,
Stace.
Anyway, so sometimes they just go out of my brain. But outside of like miscommunication or I'm disorganized and don't save numbers, I think sometimes we freeze a little bit when we're in an uncomfortable situation. So if someone tells you really, really hard news, or let's say you hear they've lost someone really close to them, they've lost their job, whatever, and then y'all go have lunch. I've noticed that sometimes the other person freezes. So it's not necessarily a miscommunication. It's like, I can't communicate about it. So then it's this awkward, like, how's the weather type situation. Mm-hmm. I think that's one way we miscommunicate is undercommunicate. What are you writing now?
I'm just taking notes. I love what you're saying.
She does have, yeah, at the top, it's Willie Two-Tone.
So. I'm taking all the
very important notes.
And this is how I do a recap. I take notes on what you're saying.
Oh, nice. Okay. Yeah. So I think that's one of them, is when we're so uncomfortable that we don't know how to address it. And so maybe that's in the people pleasing category. We just don't know how to communicate it. It's not in our scope. So we kind of go around.
Okay, wait. So I guess I'm asking, in your scenario where you were like, I could call my girl on Monday, and she was like, no, today. And then you drug the lawn chair in. What? Where does that fall on the spectrum? Because it isn't. Is that a freeze? Is it just kind of like?
It was a freeze.
Okay, so that was a go with it. So like the other side of the scenario is you're sitting at Bottega and someone's just told you horrible news and you don't feel like you have the tools to support them. You might freeze and be like, so how is the weather? And that would feel like shit, I'm sure, to the other person. Mm-hmm. But it is a response to just not knowing what to do.
So actually what you're describing, we're going to imagine like a little ladder and we're going to talk about our nervous system, my most favorite thing.
Okay.
And so all day our brain is on this ladder. The top of the ladder is when we're like calm, cool, and collected. We can see hard things and respond appropriately. We might get stuck in traffic at work, feel a little bit stressed, and go down to the middle of the ladder, where we're like a little bit agitated, my day's going to be ruined. But then we get into the office, things go well, we're back at the top of the ladder. So top, calm, cool, and collected. The middle of the ladder is I'm having emotions, but I'm still in control of them. And then bottom of the ladder is our full fight or flight mode or freeze. And Will went through fight. Okay, so he was at the bottom of the ladder. And typically when we're at the bottom of the ladder, we feel like something is out of our control. This is from the polyvagal theory, talking about our vagus nerve and our nervous system. So when we're at the bottom of the ladder, you said you like stewed on it and it got worse.
Yeah, I just kept thinking of more reasons to be upset that he would think I would keep his cat.
Yeah. And then
that he didn't have.
You yeah, climbed the ladder because you typed it out and you're like, hey, pal, you know, these are the reasons. So you're really direct. And then you got back to the top of the ladder when he sent, ha, 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 I'm in my car. So then you're like, whoops. And our nervous system completely regulates again. So if we're at Bottega and someone's had crisis, a death, grieving, a divorce, whatever, we might be more at the middle where we're really uncomfortable, but we're in control. The top of the ladder in that scenario would be, I don't know what to say right now.
Or, hey, that sounds really hard. Thank you for sharing it with me.
What would be helpful to you? Do you want to talk about it? Or should I talk about Nick Saban's retirement? Right? Like you get to kind of ask them where to choose. And so while it might be uncomfortable, your nervous system gets to stay in control.
I love that. Where was you? So you were frozen. You were at the bottom as well with a Willie Tutu.
Okay. There were two parts of this. WTT. Uncle T. Uncle WTT. I think I'm going to work on this a little bit.
Yeah. I don't know about the uncle part.
No?
Seems weird.
Well, we'll see.
We'll let you know.
What you're now in our phone as. We know each other too well to have first and last names. You know, I like to give someone a nickname or just go first name once Ooh. We're close.
Like go back through. So you don't actually put anyone in your phone appropriately to begin with, but you'll go back through and change him to Willie Two-Tone. What do I get to be? BBL?
Sure. Yeah, something like that. Okay, what was the question?
You in the lawn chair. Were you at the bottom of the ladder?
So there were two parts of this. This is going to be vulnerable for me. Okay, so, and you know a lot of this.
Okay.
So after my divorce, I went from feeling comfortable in this and secure because I'm in a partnership. There's two incomes. There's a shared everything. To being solely responsible for everything. And some of that was a big boost. Like, look at what a badass I am, you know? And like,
I can do it.
I bought my house. Mm-hmm. I bought my car. Laura bought my dining room table. Okay. But like,
well, that is a different.
That's a different story. When a dining room table was removed from my house.
True. It wasn't even your fault, really.
That was not my fault.
Emergency situation.
We can go back if needed to explain the dining room table. But regardless, I felt very empowered. In that empowerment, I got into this scarcity mindset of if I'm not in control, if I don't provide, I could lose everything. Mm-hmm. Okay. 5 years later, 4 years later, that has become part of me. Really fearful. Can we do this right now? Even though the reality is like I've built a very secure life. So when I know that getting my hair done is several hundred dollars, my old mindset of can you do that? What if the kids need two new soccer uniforms? Are you going to be able to do this? Mm-hmm. Are you know,
what if the AC goes out?
What if the AC goes out? Mm-hmm. What if the van breaks again? You know, Marge has had her troubles. Okay. So that scarcity mindset came up. So part of it was answering from scarcity of like, yep, old Claire, just do it. Because what if you don't have another chance and this is free? Secure Claire was the one that was like, I could just call Gwyneth and have this taken care of. So mine was this like internal battle, and ultimately old scared Claire won out of scarcity. So I was at the bottom of the ladder.
That's really helpful.
Thank you.
And honestly, even though I feel like you and I've had lots of conversations about that, I think everybody can resonate with what that feels like. An old story that still comes up and pops up out of nowhere. And scarcity, if you are a single parent and you've done single parenthood, you know what that feels like. Because the truth is that even if it's not true, even if you have a really good support system, the lie that you believe is this is all on me, mm-hmm. and I am fully responsible for keeping these humans alive. And if I make a decision to take care of myself, I may not have what I need to take care of them. And so for any single parents that are listening that have felt that way, or maybe you're walking through a season where you do feel that way, one, you're not alone. And two, there are ways to get out of that.
So what changed for me was about a month ago, my therapist, who luckily, I mean, she's been in the business forever. She's just like a therapist for therapists. She's amazing. She was like, it makes sense why you're like this, but you have trashed your nervous system. And when someone else said that I had trashed my nervous system right? Mm-hmm. I don't have to be in the have to. I don't have to be in the trash nervous system anymore. So I can do things to regulate that in a different way.
Well, you can reprogram it.
Well, I could just pay to get my goddamn hair done.
Yes, you can definitely do that. But I think what does reprogramming look like? And this is important. If you are functioning out of the angry space, you're at the bottom of the ladder and somebody sent you the text and you're really pissed off, or if you're in the lawn chair, you know, to come up the ladder, what it means to reprogram, even from a scarcity standpoint, is you have to do it differently and prove to yourself you'll survive it. Because when we're functioning out of our frontal cortex, mm-hmm. right? That's where it's fight, flight, freeze. Mm-hmm. Your lizard is in control, right?
Almost.
Okay.
The back here is where the fight, flight, freeze response is.
This is where the good stuff is.
This is where more like habit and logic is. No, some people, no, it's good clarity.
Yeah, okay.
So what happens is the front of my brain goes offline. The front of my brain
flip
is.
Lid.
That's where you flip your lid.
Because I remember you gave the little, this is what it looks like to flip your lid.
So when the front of my brain is offline, I don't have logic or reason. That's why my more mammal brain comes into play.
Yes.
Or reptilian.
And so to reprogram it, you just have to do it differently, right?
Yeah, that's why people say therapies work. Like, oh, you just got to do the work. Well, that's not super clear, but doing the work is little bite-sized chunks and pieces that are like I'm sure I've talked about this, and if I haven't, the 2-degree shift. So it's making itty-bitty changes over and over and over again, changes your brain. That's called neuroplasticity, and what a wild thing that we can change our brain. I think we used to say, can't teach an old dog new tricks. Like, we can. We can teach any dog new tricks, mm-hmm. me the dog. And then two, so those like work on with your therapist, whatever, a friend, it's itty bitty me being able to name, like I've been paralyzed in fear and panic for so many years, even though I look on the outside like super fun and exciting, it was through a lens of scarcity and fear. Mm-hmm. So it's really bite-sized things of, you know what, I need to walk. Walking gets that out of my system. So it doesn't have to be like massive trauma work. It's like going a fucking walk.
Or call somebody who will tell you the truth. Like that happens a lot too.
So that's part B, spoiler, is called co-regulation. So if I need to regulate my nervous system and I'm dysregulated, but you're regulated, we can do that through a phone call. Mm-hmm. So your tone and like if your heart rate's regulated and your breathing is normal and I can sense that, I can regulate. That also works if you're in the house with someone. I mean, if it's your partner, great. If it's your dog, great. But when someone, another being is regulated, you can just sit with them without even talking about it. You could sit down, watch a show, watch a movie, and your nervous system will align with theirs, which is wild.
Okay. It's important to say here, because sometimes I've met people over the years, I'm sure you have too, because of your profession, and will probably true for you too, where if you are calling the wrong person when you're dysregulated, you will just stay there.
That's right.
And so please make sure whoever your phone a friend is someone who's healthy enough to hear, oh, you need me. to go online with you right now and be solid. Because if they're the type of person that's going to spiral with you, don't call them. Pick somebody who's not going to make you more angry. How dare he ask you to watch his... When did he even get a cat? When did he even get... Philip has a fucking cat? Like, you don't... You can't do that. I've made that mistake. I've called the person that will get me, like, amped instead of, like, hey, I can tell that you're really upset right now. Like, what do you need? Which is Claire. If I call Claire or Claire calls me, that's what we ask. Hey, what do you need right now? Do you need advice? Do you need me to listen? Like, what do you need?
Claire's and that really should fit on like a one by one piece of paper. That should not be an extensive
tiny, this lip. Big.
Yeah. And I've drawn a square in the past year, one by one, little square. And those were the people whose opinions of my life mattered to me. Mm-hmm. And those are the people I call. Now, we're making this lesson sound five. Like... very serious that I call Laura all the time and it's very like this. It isn't, because the other piece of that is sometimes I do need serious and calm, and sometimes I want to laugh about this shit. Humor can get us back up the ladder too. Mm-hmm. I think in our world where we're talking about so much like show your feelings and feel your feelings and sit in your emotions, well, guess what? That doesn't necessarily regulate them. So that feeling, whoop, a little anxious, scoot on by. I can actually go into humor. Humor got a bad rap in therapy for being something that we say that we mask our real emotions with humor. Maybe sometimes humor gets me up the ladder to make a better decision. I want to laugh. I don't want to sit around and cry all the time or panic all the time.
No. And I think it's important to have those people that you can call that can give you a little bit of an escapism from like whatever it is you're walking through that might be heavy and hard. To have someone who will help you laugh through something that, well, like that sounds crazy, you know, like the BBL.
Everyone's like, asleep over here. He hates this part.
Oh, no, it's good. We're good.
And Tilly's on a stage thinking about how we've changed his life.
Yes.
That's right.
Okay, so the goal here when there's a miscommunication, because we started this by saying miscommunication, but it really sounds like we're talking a lot about the latter, which I love, is if you find yourself in the middle of the latter where you're agitated, a little perturbed, maybe even some anger. The goal is to do something that's going to get you to the top of the ladder. If you find yourself at the bottom of the ladder, you may need to phone a friend.
Phone a friend and do something that has to do with your senses, because if we are in the lower parts of our brain, that more fight or flight piece, talking will do nothing to you because your brain's offline. So walking, drinking something really cold, putting ice cubes in your hand or getting an ice pack, sucking on a lemon, having sour candy. Like, it sounds so elementary, and that's because it is, because you're working with your brain, the part of your brain that has the like capacity of the lizard.
I love it. Thanks for tuning in. We love you guys. If you have not given us a rating, what do you call those? Reviews? Please give us a review.
And ratings, yes.
Ratings and reviews. Share it with a friend. We would love that. I want to get 100. I want us to get to 100.
We'd like to get to 100.
Follow along with us everywhere. Please subscribe to the podcast. Find us on Instagram. We're constantly doing polls. We want to know what you think. And I know that you probably know this, but reviewing us and giving us 5 stars matters more than anything. And we are so grateful to have you here.